As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Hey, Frank, can you hear me? Awesome. Sorry to be late. My fault. I'm late to my own show. Isn't that something? Well, here on Earth Talk, it's all about empowerment, so we're going to empower you. That's what we're going to do. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical Engineer Frank and I got our mics on, our hot mics are on, and we're ready to do a really great show. We're going to be talking about, get this, we're going to be talking about inconsistencies of pandemics in the first part of the show. And we do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform lifting this nation up in prayer. And I'm seeking the Lord's face, and I'm minding the time because it grows short. And today's devotional puts us in Ecclesiastes 12, where it says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Absolutely. I mean, there is the real Supreme Court, right? And mind the time, seek the Lord's face, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, so let's see. We got a couple of things here. Interesting that the federal court, there's this federal court. Where was this at? This was... This is a court of the Northern District of California. It ruled, overruled the Food and Drugs Administration approval for genetically modified salmon. They said, according to the court, the FDA ignored potential environmental consequences when it approved the genetically engineered salmon. This was for a company called Massachusetts-based Aqua Bounty Technologies. So the district court there said the FDA violated the National Environmental Policy Act and the Endangered Species Act. So when they approved the company's application for genetically modified salmon, they didn't clear the genetically engineered animal food first with those other policies. So the court in their ruling said you can't do it because it risks the environment and anyway, and fish industries everywhere. So there you go. No Franken salmon fish for anybody, at least for now. All right. Moving along in the quack report, and last but not least, doctors say the CDC should warn people of the side effects from COVID vaccine shots. What's wrong with the transparency there? Well, Dr. Sandra Fryhofer said that both Pfizer's and Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine requires two doses, and she's worried whether patients will come back for the second dose because potentially there's unpleasant side effects with the first shot. They said both companies acknowledge that their vaccines could induce side effects that are similar to symptoms associated with getting COVID, such as muscle pain, chills, headache, and so forth. So according to them, the good doctor says, we really need to make patients aware that this is not going to be a walk in the park. Interesting choice of words. Dr. Fryhofer said during a virtual meeting with the advisory committee for immunization practices, she said that the medical experts should advise the CDC that there should be a liaison to the committee. She says, we are going to know they had a vaccine and they're probably not going to feel real wonderful afterwards. So they're wanting the medical practices to warn patients before they're given it. It's like a, I guess, you know, caveat. They go on to say, if this proves to work, people are going to have to toughen up. Did you hear that, Frank? They're going to have to toughen up and take their lumps with their COVID vaccine. Just, get a stiff upper lip, take your shot, get the COVID virus in you, and have all the side effects. She said the first dose is no big deal, but the second dose will definitely put you down for a day or so. She's saying make sure you make arrangements to be off of work a couple of days. So, yeah. And what is it that they were saying would only cover you for 3 months and you got to come back and get another round? I don't think so. I'm thinking I'm not doing that. Well, I can't say that on the air, Frank. I can't say that. I totally agree with you, but no, cannot say that. Well, all right. Well, we'll just keep praying. There's going to be, you know, other therapeutics, and we already discussed a few on the show, but that wraps the crack report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Want to apologize for being tardy. It's been one of those days, Frank. You would not believe it. Anyway, life in the fast lane. Let's talk about the inconsistencies of our pandemic, shall we? What? Frank? Okay, well, let's talk about inconsistencies in pandemics. Frank, you just do your thing over there. This is a report from Wired News. They released this report. This was interesting. On how the homeless people, how are they doing during this COVID outbreak? Really, have you anybody asked that question? I don't think people are asking it. How are the homeless people coping with COVID? So we don't hear much about this aspect of the pandemic in the media. Now, some alternative news outlets have, you know, kind of asked if hospitals are accepting homeless people sick with the virus, or if they are, if there's any homeless people sick with the virus, which isn't. Since the homeless are kind of challenged, kind of hard to follow those guidelines by the CDC set out, you know, shelter in place, what shelter? How can the homeless shelter in place, really? They don't have a home. So why are we not hearing, then, about thousands of homeless people being treated for COVID? Good question. We're going to try to answer that. Let's look at the unhoused population, because if you seem, it kind of seems logical to me to think that if COVID-19 is so deadly, especially for people with underlying health conditions, why are the homeless not dropping like flies? Think about this. Not that I want them to, but homeless people do not have the best health and or the best hygiene. So they're more vulnerable to infections. So for the most part, you know, we are talking about unlivable conditions, right? Which would give a disease a foothold, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be, you know, take advantage of them. Well, let's look at the homeless shelters, because some might assume, well, you know, the homeless go to the homeless shelters. Well, at first, that seems like a good answer, but the homeless shelters are not set up for the social distancing, and the living conditions in shelters are more extreme. So, in the midst of this COVID pandemic, most shelters are either full to capacity or they're closed. So one report stated that during the pandemic, 5 million Americans quietly slipped into poverty during this pandemic. So there would be not enough shelters for them all. Even if there were, people are so panicked by the virus, they may avoid shelters. So shelters have cots and they have toilets, but maybe not toilet paper or soap. Okay, and the poverty-stricken can't even panhandle on the street due to the lockdowns and the social distancing. So, where would a homeless person find a bathroom? Yeah, the normal places are essentially closed, like, you know, the libraries, gyms, fast food restaurants, you know. They can't go in any of those places. Even the soup kitchens are kind of closed because they have no food volunteer or volunteers. So there are, you know, reports of the new homeless in our society sleeping in parking lots in Las Vegas, right? And now with more of these conditions, like, I don't know about you, Frank, in your state, but you probably already had this condition, but North Carolina's governor just came out with new mandatory face masks everywhere outside. Yep, even driving in your car. And now they're putting pressure on business owners that if they don't enforce the face mask coming in the stores, the first time they get a warning, and the second time they get a citation, and they will be closed by the state for a little while. The state will determine how long they have to remain closed. So these shop owners are like going to be telling patrons, you can't come in the store unless you have a mask on. You know, the muzzle. Can't have that. So, So, and I don't know where the homeless get a face mask. They can't buy them. They don't have any money. How are they complying? Well, let's look at some survival guides. One of these online forums has suggested the homeless go into the woods and seek shelter there. There they can use leaves for toilet paper, or a pile of leaves can insulate them from the cold. For the homeless, there is really no place for them to quarantine. Let me read you this quote from, this is Margot Kuschel. She's a professor of medicine, UC San Francisco. And she says, homelessness is incompatible with health and during a pandemic. It's never been truer. A pandemic is a crisis, but for the homeless, it is a crisis superimposed on an existing crisis. She says unhoused people are among the most sick in society. How are they supposed to be physically capable of following the CDC's pandemic directives? And the most basic one is stay at home. End of quote. She also adds, the homeless survive in masses together. It's impossible for them to exist otherwise. They can't social distance, she says. Most homeless shelters do not have the kind of space to distance people 10 feet apart or even 6 feet apart. And even if they could comply with that, it means more homeless will remain outside. So the homeless kind of network together. You know, they kind of work together to get food and whatever it is they need. So let's look at the count. This is the governor of California. He's saying they estimated to have 60 million homeless in the state, and two-thirds are living outdoors, which is twice the national average. So why are the homeless not being mentioned in the COVID-19 cases? Frank, have you heard any reports of this? You know, homeless, COVID on the rise or anything like that, dropping like flies. You know, have you heard anything like that? I have not. And I'm just wondering, you know, logically, they should be really, you know, susceptible to this virus. So the homeless network to survive, so in order to meet their basic needs. So therefore, they congregate together. They're not social distancing. And in many instances, there are mass eating events among them, you know, when food is brought in. So here is, this is a quote from Drew Capone. He's with the Water Sanitation and Hygiene Researcher at Georgia Tech. He says, we saw in our research in Atlanta that most open defecation happens within 400 feet of the soup kitchen. No hand sanitizer there, and most public places are not allowing the homeless in to use the toilets. The conditions of the homeless would leave a healthy person vulnerable to catching a disease like COVID-19, and unhoused people tend to not be healthy. He's got a point. So what are their first needs? Well, according to Margaret Kuschel, Professor Kuschel, she says the homeless, they first try to secure food and a place to sleep. That's their first priority. Then they worry about the healthy behaviors after that. So Professor Kuschel is explaining the homeless tend to suffer from these conditions. These health conditions, which make them more vulnerable to COVID, they have lung disease, heart disease, high blood pressure, cancer, and their age. Half of them are over 50. So these are nearly all the conditions, all the health conditions the medical community says makes you more likely to catch COVID-19. and the homeless have these conditions. And Professor Krischel also says that homelessness is hard on the body, and a homeless person at the age of 50 is really, physiologically speaking, age 70 or 80. I know, you ever see a homeless person, they look kind of rough, you know? It's a hard thing. This is a quote from Nan Roman, CEO of the National Alliance to End Homelessness, who says, "Unsheltered women suffer from serious medical conditions such as poor mental health and drug addictions." So, you know, and I get this now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the homeless are not allowed to have any hot meals. This is crazy. They're only allowed cold bagels, pizza, and sandwiches. No more hot meals. I wonder if they even get any coffee, hot coffee. So the homeless used to look forward to a hot breakfast and a shower at the shelters, but restrictions apply now on the bathing, too. So if I understand it right, you used to be able, if you were homeless, to pop into the shelter, get a hot meal, take a shower, and you could leave. Now you can't do that. If you come to the shelter and expect to have a cold meal and perhaps a shower, you have to stay the night. And a lot of times, you know, the women are in rooms and there's no locks on the doors, you know, and there's men in the facility as well. So it's really not safe, you know. It's not a safe place. And the shelters are struggling because they don't have enough food supplies that are volunteered to them, or they don't have enough workers to help them. So the shelters are pretty much at capacity and struggling. Well, let's look at the number count. So if the conditions for contracting COVID-19 are exponentially higher if you are a homeless person, why are the homeless not dropping like flies in the streets and it's on the news? Or even on alternative news, we don't see much about it at all. One report stated that the cities are putting, yeah, get this, they're putting the homeless in RVs to contain the risk of spreading the virus. I kind of find that hard to believe, Frank. Do you think they're putting them in RVs? Do you think they're renting RVs and putting the homeless up in RVs? Some of those RVs are very nice. You know what I mean? Right. Oh, yeah. I was at the store today, and they had one of the, you know, usually at the holidays they get these gift boxes for the poor, and it's really like some of the grocery stores, you know, bag up a bunch of foods, like a whole meal, canned goods, spaghetti, and whatever. And you can purchase the bag, and then they deliver it to the homeless shelters or wherever they're going to deliver it to. Or they have it in a box, right? And so I'm going through the line picking up a few things I forgot. And they had this so strategically placed. It was right there as you walk up to the register. There's a stack of them with a sign on them, $5 a box. And it was a whole meal for a family of four in that box. $5, right? So I grabbed one, run through the line. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you've ever been homeless, Frank, or if you've ever been in a situation where, you know, you're having to go to Loaves and Fishes for food. I've been in the Loaves and Fish line when I was in my 30s. Yep. So, and I had kids in tow. So I know what that's like. I really do. I can't imagine it with this pandemic and all the crazy restrictions. You were homeless too, Frank? 7 years? That's a long time. That's a long time. That'll teach you some things, won't it? I learned a lot. I wasn't homeless, thank the Lord, but we had some stressful moments. We surely did. So, and you know what Pastor Ernie Sanders often says, there's many people out there that would trade positions with you in a heartbeat. So there's always somebody that's, you know, not as fortunate as we are. So especially this time of the year where we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, what we're thankful for, remember those less fortunate, definitely. And I'm really upset that some of these kitchens, these soup kitchens and stuff like that, they send out in the mail all these, you know, things for donations, but if they're not open, where's the money going? You know, the holiday money people send in. Well, and no hot meal? What is that? They can't have a hot meal for Thanksgiving? Come on. That's insane. What's the deal with not having a hot meal? And it never was clear to me in the report why. They said because of COVID. Because of COVID, there were no longer any hot meals being served. What is that? What does that have to do with anything? Oh, Frank says he's an expert. Oh, experts who have never spent a minute on the street are three quarters wrong on what they say about the homeless. Yeah, experience is the aptly put teacher, isn't it, Frank? I know. There's just so much you can get from some of these reports, and you're right. They're written by people that never have experienced homelessness. Well, I want you out there to, you know, to keep your immune system strong. And to do that, you want to use a lot of mineral-rich immune support herbs, the ones that have a lot of zinc and calcium. That's what your immune system uses, those minerals, to protect you from viruses. So plant-based sources are going to be chemically balanced by nature. They work very well in the body, work better than isolated supplements. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a full line of immune support herbs and astragalus root with really high zinc, which will, according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, will protect you. The zinc protects you from the COVID virus. So give them a call. Their number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address, ThePowerHerbs. And don't forget, they're having their Thanksgiving sale, so it's 25% off orders of $50 or more. Use the coupon code THANKS20, so THANKS20, and you can use it over the phone, through the mail, or on their website. And do hurry, because the sale will end on 11/28/2020, so this Saturday. It's the last day. I can see by the clock we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663. For international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll-free, 866-229-3663, or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask, robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Are
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. We're back here on Herb Talk, and we're going to be talking about, since we're kind of talking about, you know, the COVID thing. I know, we're so sick of the topic. And by the way, listeners out there, talking with Frank during the break, he says he's kind of an expert in homelessness. He was homeless for 7 years, and he hitchhiked, and he stayed in about 100 different missions. And he ate out of about 100 different dumpsters and slept under as many bridges. So life challenges will definitely teach you something. And what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, Frank. And, you know, my challenge is obviously not as severe as yours, but they do stick with you. They do humble you. They do make you thankful for everything. And the Lord looks after us and brings us through. So, I truly believe the Lord's going to bring America through this. So we're praying and we're keeping the faith. So let's just, visit. I've talked about this before. Let's just visit real quickly the origins of the killer coronavirus. You know, who are the jackasses that started this mess? And I'm sorry if that's offended anybody, but, the world news is kind of focused on the coronavirus. Started in Wuhan, China. A lot of questions. We don't know what it is. It's a novel pathogen. A lot of fear mongering going on. People didn't know what to expect. Doctors didn't know what to expect. So the fear was typically leveraged. So people would obey some of the restrictives that you have now. But really, where did this virus come from? Well, according to a physician, Jeffrey Kahn, who wrote about the coronavirus in November 2005, in a report called the Pediatric Infectious Disease Journal, and he stated that it is a disease that caused upper respiratory tract infection, and that there had been five new coronaviruses identified that infect humans, causing severe or acute symptoms and even morbidity and mortality. So the new coronavirus, labeled NH63, and it stands for New Haven, NH stands for New Haven, where it was discovered. So, and also KHUK, which they have no idea where this one came from. And these are new strains producing these upper and lower respiratory infections. And keep in mind, the SARS, the severe acute respiratory syndrome, and the MERS, which is the Middle East acute respiratory syndrome, these are coronaviruses, and they were established as coming from the animal strains, okay, from the animal kingdom. Yeah. So, animal kingdom, according to Dr. Khan, so the coronavirus is emerging today, he says, were cultivated in the lab on animal organs, okay, at the National Institute of Health. In the 1960s, he says, virologists Terrell and Bonneau were experimenting with human strains and animal strains of viruses. And they were merging human bronchitis viruses with mouse hepatitis, gastroenteritis, and swine viruses. And they were looking for similarities in these diseases via what is called an electron microscopy. So they were looking for ways to find the linchpin to jump the gap so that the animal viruses would merge with human viruses and infect in humans. And they were looking for this key, if you would, in the pathogen that would make the disease infect humans and animals alike. So when they created a new virus, it was called coronavirus, and they were credited as discovering a brand new genus of viruses. Let me read you. This is out of the Bill Gates 2010 TED conference. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's heading up to 9 billion. Now, if we do a really good job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, and we could lower the count perhaps by 10 to 15%, end of quote. So they're creating a problem to sell you a solution, but the solution is not for your benefit. Not for your benefit. So we've got these viruses that they're tinkering with, if you will, and editing them and causing all kind of hell for everybody. And I read something today. I just glanced at it, Frank. Just glanced, where new research this month, November 2020, they're saying that the MMR vaccine may have potential protective properties against COVID-19, which they say could be the reason children are not getting sick with the virus. So you know, but they're editing these serums all the time and testing new things, and they just don't tell the public, and that's why you see little outbreaks on, you know, things like measles here and so forth there. So let's read this quote by the Pediatric Infectious Disease Journal. This was in November 2005. It was volume 24, issue 11. It said, the number of importance of animal coronaviruses are growing rapidly. Multiple animal species carry coronavirus strains such as rats, mice, chickens, turkeys, calves, dogs, cats, rabbits, and pigs. And the virus genus as a whole is capable of a wide variety of disease mechanisms. Coronaviruses have been assigned groups based on their antigen and genetic design. Group 3 contains the avian bird strains. SARS is the coronavirus developed in 2002. So this didn't just evolve, it was developed on purpose. Yeah. So, and if you notice, they say the coronavirus is from animals and dogs is listed there. And I read just the other day, Frank, which, you know, kind of upset my daughter. They said that if you have a dog as a pet, you're more likely to be infected with the virus. And you're more at risk and you probably need to wear the, I don't know, whatever it is you got to wear to tell society you're a big risk, the scarlet letter, you know. Yeah, if you're a pet lover and you have any cats and dogs, you know, you're probably a big threat to society now, is what they were saying. Well, we're not the threat. It's the jackasses that made these coronaviruses back in the 1960s. That's who threatened the entire population of the United States. They did it. Well, let's look at what is in the Pandemic Infectious Disease Journal. Oh, I already, again, they have another quote here. They say the SARS virus is a coronavirus that grew easily on tissue cultures, enabling quick sequencing of the genome. And a new group was dedicated to this virus and was classified with a coronavirus that was cultivated from Himalayan palm civets. These are mammals. So they're cultivating and changing it and tweaking it and editing it, and they're creating all these new viral strains. So when I heard the other day that Bill Gates is working on coronavirus 21, I figured so. Yeah. They're creating more and more diseases. Also from the Journal of Medical Virology, this is January 2020, they say whenever a pathogen species jump appears, whenever a virus jumps from one species to another, that species will not initially have a well-developed immunity to the virus. So they're saying, oh, these coronaviruses that we created from animals has jumped the gap to humans, and we just don't have the immunity to these viruses because they were supposed to stay in the animal kingdom. And so they're just saying, well, you just don't have a strong immune system. It's all your fault. That's the attitude there. So the conspiracy here of theories around the world, this is an intent to use vaccines and to cause serious medical harm to people. This is my opinion. I've talked to many virologists. I've talked to pediatricians. I've talked to the heads of FDA, former heads of FDA, and basically, more disease means more money. Okay? Simply put. And that's what the Bible said, money answereth all things. So why are we surprised, right? So we're under medical tyranny. That's what you're experiencing. Control over every facet of your life through medical tyranny. And if the powers that be get their way, they want to link your medical compliance to finances, you know, and if you don't comply, you can't buy, sell, or trade. So the conspiracy theories, whatever they you want to call them, they're playing out right before your eyes. Now, as more vital information will surface, you know, you're seeing, you know, over the last few months, you've seen, you know, these people. Gates and Fauci, they have patents on the virus. They have a financial stake in this. And we see vaccines kind of now in a new light, you know, wanting us to... people are frightened, Frank. They're frightened that they're going to mandate this experimental vaccine on everybody. A lot of people have, you know, reservations about vaccines to begin with, and now they really have them. Let's look at some coronavirus stats for a minute. This is according to the Pediatric Infectious Disease Journal. They were listing some of the attributes of the virus. They were saying it likes to manifest in colder months of winter compared to spring, summer, or fall. This was what they were saying, you know, early in the pandemic. Then they said coronavirus infections are estimated to be 35% of the global respiratory virus or cold infections. Well, these statistics, as we've pointed out over the last 6-8 months or whatever it's been, have been manipulated numbers. I mean, it's 0.025% of people who have died of the virus compared to those who have tested positive with the virus. So it's less than the number that would equal a pandemic. You have to be over a 1%. So it's not even a pandemic when you look at that. So some of the speculations back early this year, some of these played out, some of these didn't. But there's an interesting entry, though, in the Pediatric Infectious Disease Journal. It stated that the animal viruses that have contributed to the invention, that's the word they use, of the coronavirus, which infect humans, have more nucleotides, and it helps the virus to maintain its sequence integrity compared to human viruses. So this is an invention, and you can only patent an invention. You can't patent what Mother Nature made. So, yeah. Yeah, Frank, typically anything over 1%, an infectious rate, they tend to like to lump into a category of pandemic. They do. But we're not even there. After all these months and all these cases and all these deaths, we're not even there. Statistically. What? Well, fine. Okay. Frank is being funny. So what you have here is they're cracking the code to the nucleotides in viruses, which play a role in helping animal pathogens infect humans. So again, they've edited these. This isn't evolution. This isn't natural mutating. This is a laboratory forced evolution, if you will. So this is not some bird flu that just kind of happened to infect somebody at a food market in the Asian country. The coronavirus, it's an RNA virus, and it's a man-made virus. Man-made. Started back in the 60s. So scientists have used large strands of viral proteins to make polyproteins with virus codes in them. These are called viral encoded proteinase, and often it's found in a group of the group 2 coronavirus infections. So people need to understand that science has forced these mutations and created what nature did not. Basically, that's what we have. In a nutshell. Yep. RNA viruses. And I have to say, let me ask you, Frank. What do you suppose, is it male or female is the higher rate of autism cases? Do you think more male children are autistic or more female children are autistic? So it's a neurological condition, and really, if you look statistically, it's almost all males. Very, very few, rare for females to be autistic. So why is that? And why does this happen after the 1980s? One pediatrician and one virologist said that there was hardly any autism to speak of before the 1980s, because it wasn't because doctors got better at identifying it. It was because it really didn't exist. So something happened in the 80s, and they edited a children's vaccine, and they were able to take the proteins and edit that viral serum so it would attack only males. Get it? Take out the males, you know, as many as you can. So in certain protein codes in genetics, it would affect a certain subgroup of male kids. They have gotten it down. So I'm going to say, you know, autism is on purpose. It's not by accident. Here is a quote from the Pediatric Infectious Disease Journal, November 2005. They say the field of coronavirology has advanced significantly in recent years. The SARS epidemic was a dramatic reminder that animal coronaviruses are potential threats to human life. Now, the SARS and the MERS, these were all the same kind of lab-created stuff. So they go on to say, an additional human coronavirus strain will very likely be discovered, which stresses the need for more research. So are more strains coming? Oh, yeah, Bill Gates is working on coronavirus 21. So according to the January 2020 issue of the Journal of Medical Virology, they are anticipating a new coronavirus from snakes. So they are stating that the coronavirus in China has been determined by the World Health Organization that an RNA genome virus is the product of a human interaction with wildlife in the seafood market over at Wuhan, which was totally found to be bogus later. So this offers, you know, it's humans interacting with poultry, snakes, bats. Humans have been interacting with these animals for millennia. And their viruses stayed in the animal kingdom. So animals, they say, have a potential viral reservoir. Do you remember that time, Frank, I was doing a show, and I said, just watch. The scientists were going into bat caves, and I said, just watch. You're going to get a bat virus. And sure enough, here we are. Here we are. They have determined that the China coronavirus is a recombatant virus from a bat. Ta-da. Right? So about 8 years ago, 7 years ago, I told you you were going to get a bat virus. And here it is. So you want to keep in mind that recombatant viruses are a purposeful combination of a pathogen DNA using CRISPR technology. It's created. It didn't evolve in nature. It was created. And it is often used in the production of viral vaccine serums and gene therapy. So this is really suggesting your viruses is man-made. And the report in the Journal of Medical Virology is speculating that your China virus is really a combination of a bat and snake virus, but they really haven't pinned it down yet. So, but they want to blame the outbreak on somebody interacting with, you know, stuff at the market. Uh-huh. Here is a quote from Dr. Asim Ahmad. He's with Pediatric Infectious Disease at Boston Children's Hospital. He said, we already have structures of the virus. We're already talking about developing new vaccines, and we will take the genetic information and sequence this strain. Now, they'll make another version of it. I remember I did a show and I said, you know, when they were talking about the second wave this summer, the second wave is going to hit this fall, people are going to get really sick with COVID-19. And I said, what if the second wave wasn't the same virus? Now they're saying, oh, the COVID-19 is mutated. I'm thinking it's more that they introduced something else. And, you know, and there's lots of evidence that science knows that vaccines carry risk because it is a treatment and all treatments carry risk with them. A peer review article appeared in the April 2010 Journal of Public Library of Science, and it stated that the seasonal influenza vaccines make people more prone to contracting the bird corona H1N1 virus. So it makes you more likely when you get a flu shot to get COVID-19 because it's in the coronavirus family. So the research, there's research out of Canada. It was stating that in their 2009, they had real concerns about a prior year flu vaccine that contained a trivalent influenza strain. And they found that there was an increased risk of anyone getting that flu shot that would also get a pandemic-like influenza with a bird strain in it, a blue A strain of H1N1. And sure enough, that's what happened. So there are several investigations that have been done on assessing these risks. And the risk was monitored by the British Columbia, Alberta, Ontario, Quebec system, along with other monitoring controls, and it produced a timeline. And the study showed, because people that were vaccinated against outbreaks, they actually became sick with the disease. And their research showed that those who got vaccinated compared to those who did not get vaccinated had a 1.4 to 2.5 increased risk of getting ill with a bird flu coronavirus. Here's what the Public Health of Science stated on this. They said, because of the investigations in this study, our observational monitoring to databases and people who had been vaccinated may have an unknown characteristic that increases the risk of developing H1N1 illnesses. It's a bit confounding to our scientists. The study raises important questions, though, about biological interactions between seasonal influenza strains and vaccines, and what is the best way to control both types of infections. Well, controlling infections, not really the game. The game is more infections, so they get more money. Duh. So here it is. The Breitbart Institute owns the patent on the coronavirus, and it was issued July 23rd, 2015. So who's involved in the patent of this virus? Here is the shareholders: the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, international disease control agencies like the WHO, the European Commission, the Biotechnology and Biological Science Research Council, the UK Department of Environmental, Food and Rural Affairs, the industrial producers of veterinarian medicines and antivirals, as well as farmers and livestock keepers. So they all have a share in this pandemic being successful, meaning more money in their pockets. Think about it. And here's the application on the coronavirus. It said, the present invention provides a live attenuated coronavirus comprising a variant class gene encoded and polyproteins comprising the mutation in one or more non-structural proteins, proteins for coronavirus 14, 15, and 16. And the invented coronavirus may be used in a vaccine for treating or preventing disease such as infectious bronchitis. End of quote. So more of these are on the way. Just get ready, because there's sick people doing it. And I'm out of time. Don't forget, thepowerherbs.com, Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. They have the sale for Thanksgiving, 25% off. Details are on the homepage. Give them a call. And the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you all to be well.